When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I didn't walk around on the street in tights with bicycle reflectors sewn on them or body glove tank tops cut off just below my nipples.
The new Kiss show has a big sphinx. In English, we say sphinx.
In French, you say sphinx.
And the sphinx will be 40 feet tall and 60 feet wide, we think. We still haven't seen it. It's being built now.
Also at the time of Hot in the Shade, we brought in my therapist, Dr. Jesse Hilson, to run the KISS office and oversee the organization. I signed a formal release saying he was no longer my therapist and would not act further in that capacity. Outside of the band, eyebrows were raised about the wisdom and even ethics of my former psychiatrist working for me, given that earlier relationship. I understand that point of view, but when did KISS ever play by the rules?
We're going to come out of the mouth.
Our very success was built on ignoring the rules, writing our own rules, and sometimes throwing those out, too. Unfortunately, he left his wife and children around the time he joined the KISS office, and I began to hear talk of his avoiding settlements and child support payments, accusations he vehemently denied to me.
We're going to come out of the mouth of this sphinx.
Ouvrez la bouche.
Ouvrez.
Hilson became a fugitive in 1994, and I never saw him again.
Something that's cool should be beyond fashion, and so we liked the idea of the Sphinx with sunglasses on, because if you're cool, it doesn't matter what the fashion is, you will always be cool, and no matter what goes on around you.
And when something's really, when it's hot, you know, in America we say, oh, something's really hot, that means it's great. And if you say that it's hot in the shade, then it's so hot that you can't get away from it. You know, when it's really, really hot out, you can't get away from it. There's no denying it. So this show is hot in the shade. No matter where you see it from, no matter where you are, it's hot.
Chapter 47.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, side two of our retracking, resequencing of the 1989 KISS album, Hot in the Shade.
Take a stand, so you need that human hand.
Well, I'm here to bet ya, sweet's gonna get ya.
Let's get to side two.
That's Ethan, so that's you.
All right, so this is where I put the Street Giveth. It's you flip the cassette, flip the platter, and right off the bat, dun, 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 dun. And so yeah, this is to me, this is the perfect spot for that song. We've shared our thoughts on it. So I know you didn't have it at number six. What do you got here?
I have my favorite song on the album, and that is a song that I think kind of gets buried in the sequencing.
Yeah.
Silver Spoon.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Read My Body.
No, that was a good guess. But my God, this one of my favorite songs of the 80s by Paul. I think this is just a perfectly written song. I like the solo singers and the end of it. It was mm-hmm. It was difficult for I was like, is this an opening song for side two? And I just like how it has about a 15-20 second intro or whatever to it gets into it. But what are your thoughts on Silver Spoon?
This was a close between Street Giveth and this one as to what was going to open side two. But because Street Giveth is better is why it's there.
And it's a Gene song. That's a nice, it's usually kind of how it goes, right?
Sure. Gene opens side. I guess I didn't look at it that way, but you might have something there. Silver Spoon is a killer fucking tune. It's one of those songs that's really, I like it a lot, but I don't think it's a single, you know what I mean? When I listen to it, it's not something that would get played on the radio. Because to me, a single does kind of represent something. And so I think I've heard people say this should have been a single, stuff of that nature. It's a killer fucking song, don't get me wrong. And I would love to see him play something like this live back then. But the female singers at the end. It's a really cool, kind of what you were touching on with Loves a Slap in the Face. Again, something just a little bit different, not...
Yep.
And you know what? And is like Paul likes to shit on Carnival of Souls. Guess what, Paul? There's a bunch of fucking songs on here that aren't talking about how great your life is and banging chicks and all this stuff. This being one of them, you know what I mean? This is a song about, earning your place in the world and taking it, you know? And he writes those kind of songs all the time. So my only point there is because he always criticizes, like, what am I supposed to sing about? You know, I have a good life. Well, did we not have a good life in 89? So I don't know.
Right.
I love this track.
Agreed. I mean, so far on this album, there's only one song about his dick. just rise to it
right.
For the most part. I mean, but yeah, Oh, and also just go with this is that this is my favorite vocal by him on the album, and his vocals overall on this album are the Paul that I like. Like Crazy was too far for me. A lot of that over the top singing, that he did in the 80s, where a lot of people say he peaked with his vocal range, which may be true, but a lot of times I think he was over singing. Where this is, he is in the right pocket for me.
I think a lot of people who make that comment. They focus on one aspect, and that's hitting high notes and saying that's when he was at his peak. He lost something around, I don't know, Creatures of the Night, Lick It Up. Like, his mid-range is pretty much, and by the way, but he's probably still one of the best singers on the planet during those era. But I'm saying, you go back to, like, listen to, like, Rock and Roll Over, Destroyer, even Alive. Listen to, like, there's just a depth to his voice and the same thing kind of happened to Steven Tyler towards the 80s. And it's more of a natural change that happens in voices. So it's not a shot, but just because he can do, well, baby, baby, doesn't mean that that's him at his best. I think he just had more that he could do back then, but still.
No, he's just got a lot. Yeah, no, agreed. And there is one song that he is over the top on this album that reminds me of Crazy Nights style singing, but even like the pre-chorus of just like the, I never needed anybody. Just like my daddy said, where he's just like that drums getting right into it. I mean, it's just, he kills it on this.
And if you've read Paul's book or listened to it, you know, his dad never gave him any good advice.
No, not at all. See, and he goes right to it. the original title of this was, I Was Born with a Silver Spoon and Cauliflower Ear.
I thought it was originally titled Ricky Schroeder.
Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Hoping to find we're two of a kind. Make it a go, make it a crawl together. We're gonna find our way.
That's one thing that I thought was goofy about it was the title, because it immediately makes me think of that goddamn show. I forgot about that.
The lyrics Silver talked about spoons. How, like, you know, Alfonso had a career before Fresh Prince and the Fresh Prince of L.A. or whatever that fucking show's called.
Sure. Maybe this girl has a couple full arcade machines at home in a big train set that he can ride. She can ride on.
You seen that show recently?
That's all I remember from it.
It doesn't hold up.
What? The show?
Yeah, I saw a rerun, I don't know, in the last year at least, and I was like, wow, this is a fucking really stupid show.
His mom was hot.
Yeah, oh, yeah, she was all right.
Yeah.
She's from Battlestar Galactica. Mm-hmm. You got...
Aaron Gray, right?
Yeah, Aaron Gray, and then you've got... I do think it's funny that Ricky Schroeder, to be legit, dropped the Y, and now he's Rick Schroeder.
Well, he became a man.
It's true.
And
that's what happens.
Who's that guy that did... there's an actor that did the opposite. Who's the guy in fucking... not Keanu, but the other guy in The Matrix.
The other guy in The Matrix?
Yeah. The black dude in the trench coat.
Okay,
yeah, he used to be Larry Fishburne. He went on to become Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence.
Yes.
No, that's the same thing, I think.
Yeah, it is actually the same. It's not different at all.
No, not at all.
So when I said it was different, I meant exactly the same thing.
Then I agree.
All right, well, what about track two? What did you have coming in as a second song on side two?
We've already talked about it. I've got Prisoner Love coming in, second song on the second side. And... we have already talked about the song itself, but like I was mentioned earlier, a lot of heart and love in this. Kind of a fun game is to replace love with heart in the Kiss catalog. What do you think about Heart Gun?
Yeah.
I heart it loud, Dr. Heart.
I would just change the name of Love Gun to Penis.
Penis Gun.
You know, you're going love and heart. How about you just every time they use the word love, just put the word dick in it. Dick gun.
Well, sure. Dick gun. I dick it loud.
Prisoner of dick.
Dr. Dick. Dr. Dick.
Calling Dr. Dick.
Calling Dr. Dick.
Paging Dr. Dick. Dr. Dick. Line one.
Why they call me
Dr. Dick.
I tell you what.
You dick me to dick you.
I waited my entire life to hear that on an intercom. Calling Dr. Dick. But in general, like, I was just thinking, like, there's a lot of love and heart in this. If you were to change this to not Prisoner of Love and just do Prisoner of Heart, that could pretty much be like, you know, it could be Kathy Bates being replaced by Ann Wilson. What say you?
Well, you know, I don't like Heart, man, so don't go there.
Being
Kathy
prisoner,
Bates, though, total spank show. Boom.
That's right. But, you know, Ann Wilson, she could just hit that vocal range of her while she's clubbing you.
What's that movie that she's naked in?
Who?
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates?
Yeah, with fucking, I'm not drawing names very good, a very famous actor, Jack Nicholson.
Oh, I remember when Kathy Bates was naked in Canteen Boy.
Yeah, I'm thinking of something
that,
about
this
Schmidt.
Song isn't...
About Schmidt, yeah. So if you want to go jerk off to some Kathy Bates, pull up About Schmidt.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. All I know is that this song is the devil. Isn't that everything's the devil with Kathy Bates?
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So I mean, I don't know if anything else to say about Prisoner of Love except that. It's my track too.
Okay,
so what's
yeah,
your
we
track
both
two?
Had it in a second track, just different sides. So
yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Well, what about you? What's your track two?
We just talked about it, Silver Spoon. So I
boom.
You get a nice little 1-2 there to start off side two, Street Giveth into Silver Spoon. So
one more thing about the heart thing is that I think of that. I think that the Hot in the Shade, the heart and the love is a theme. Crazy Nights. There's a lot of night. There's Crazy Nights. You know, Turn on the Night, Thief in the Night. What do we know about Animal Eyes? There's a lot of fire, yes. Mm-hmm. Heaven's on Fire. I've Had Enough, Into the Fire. Burn,
I think
bitch,
this episode's
burn.
Long enough.
I'm just saying that I think that Kiss doesn't get enough credit with being a conceptual band.
Fair enough.
Your track three, side two.
Before I say what it is, Have any of the picks I've had, if I'm keeping right, you haven't taken any of the songs that I've picked off the record, correct? So far, every song I've picked, you have on the album too, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're probably. Yes. I'm wondering if this is going to change that. Number three, I got Cadillac Dreams.
Got Cadillac Dreams as well.
All right. Well, then before we get to that, this is a cool tune. I kind of like, again, you got these guys, you know, taking a step away from writing about their dicks and kind of touching on like who they are as individuals a little bit with some of the messages in these songs. Cadillac Dreams is kind of similar to Silver Spoon in the sense of like, you know, it's wanting to, you know, achieve certain success and thinking about it and focusing on it. You know what I mean? This has a really fun guitar solo by Bruce on it. But I love that little kind of ka-chunky.
Yep.
I don't know. It's just, and a great vocal by Gene on it too.
I also think, you know, like I said, the storytelling is excellent in this, on this album, like Hide Your Heart. And Gene takes another level where he basically sets you up after the solo and kind of like he's sitting you down in front of the fireplace to tell you a really good story. And he says, dig this. I was 17. I met this beauty queen, checked into a one-room suite, backseat of my car.
I guess there is some dick talk, but...
but I'm just saying, like, you might as well just been like Andrew Dice Clay and just said...
Was an old lady, lived in a shoe. She had so many kids, she didn't know what to do. So she started giving head. Worked out.
It's a lot of setup for that little tiny tale, I think, after the guitar solo there. But I dig this song a lot. I don't understand why this song gets any shit at all. I don't care about the synth horns. I think it's fun, and it pretty much is Gene's entire story. You know, his goal is to just make a shitload of money. That's what he has. Even though I think those dreams shouldn't be Cadillacs because that's an old man's car.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the... Well, you didn't have Cadillac Dreams at number three. What did you have here?
Got King of Hearts, which is pretty much the same song as Hide Your Heart, almost in title. It's kind of, to me, it reminds me a lot, but I've always liked this song. I love the pre-chorus and the chorus, and it actually reminds me of another Heart song, Heart of Chrome, just that whole kind of back and forth vocal on the track. But
you know, another song that opens up with mentioning the age of a girl.
We could barely survive in the world outside where the
Or so she said.
Good for him, yeah. By the way. Well done.
He's a responsible lover.
We should mention, too, that she's 19 and they're endorsing condoms at this part in the album, right?
Yeah.
What's the actual blurb that's on there? The AIDS like all thing, of a sudden
yeah.
AIDS
it, well, you want me to read it? The facts yeah, about AIDS is an equal opportunity disease. It affects men, women, and children regardless of race, age, or sexual orientation. AIDS is caused by a virus called HIV. To date, there is no conclusive data to explain how AIDS got started or where AIDS came from. Monkeys. People with AIDS, regardless of their sexual orientation, deserve compassion, support, not violence and bigotry. So a nice little, be good to people message from the boys in KISS.
Yeah, it ends with, keep on fucking.
I'm sorry, I omitted that part out because of the language.
Okay,
so,
sorry.
Keep on fucking.
That's right. Let me see
keep
here.
On, keep on fucking, San Diego.
But,
I really wish it said keep on fucking. That would really improve it.
So I introduced King of Hearts.
Seguir follando.
Yeah, you're talking King of Hearts now.
Yeah, but you got King of Hearts, obviously Ace of Spades. I think it's a balls move even bringing up something that has to do with a deck of cards when you got
it was going
to
be called Three of Clubs at one point.
Was it? Okay.
Just didn't have that same kind of connection to the message.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, it's again, I always think it's kind of silly when they overuse the same word on an album multiple times, but it kind of feels like the sister to Hide Your Heart. And it's kind of the same kind of story, right? It's kind of like it's not completely Romeo and Juliet, but kind of has that same vibe. But the chorus,
sort
of.
I think you like to make connections that I don't typically see. I don't think that they was sat down with any direction like that. You know what I mean?
Huh. Well.
I could be wrong.
Sounds like it.
You have your opinions.
It's in their eyes. They realize we can make our getaway. It's a forbidden love.
Yeah, I see the comparisons you're making. I'm saying they're not directly. You know, I mean, things happen. You know what I mean?
Seguir follando.
Yeah. Anyway, this reminds me Heart of Chrome as well.
Yeah, and Vinny Poncha, another songwriting credit here. So he's worked with Paul and Gene. Couple times here.
Seguir follando.
That's all I gotta say about this. All
right. We would have had to go to 11 tracks for this to make my album. This is the one that is kind of on the edge there. I would have put it somewhere in this area. It wouldn't have been like a last song in it. And I wouldn't do that stupid thing like just throwing on an 11th track and call it bonus. I hate that. It's put the thing where it's supposed to be. Don't tell me it's a bonus. I don't want that. I like the tune. It's just I like 10 other songs in the record better.
Oh, fair enough.
All right, so now we're getting towards the end of the record. We have 2 songs left. What do you have at track 4 for your side 2?
According to your word substitution, I have dicks a slap in the face.
Seguir follando.
All right.
Which doesn't seem grammatically correct. Should kind of have a rephrasing of that.
You could go with the loves a mushroom stamp to the forehead.
Seguir follando.
Okay. Right.
Loves a dick
Fair
slap
enough.
In the face.
Seguir follando.
Yeah, there you go. But we've already covered this, but this was, again, when I struggled where to place it, but it made the most sense there for me.
Okay.
So, but what about you?
I had Little Caesar at number 4 here at the end.
Yeah.
Finally, Eric Carr gets the lead vocal on a record that's not an attempt to make Peter Criss feel bad.
Beth, I hear you calling, but I can't come home right now. Me and the boys are playing, and we just can't find the sound. Just a few.
Yeah. That was so odd.
Yeah.
So odd. I was just coming into the Kiss canon when I heard that. I was like, why is he overdubbing vocals on this? Huh? Right?
We're going to do a greatest hits album. You know what? This is an opportunity to be mean to Peter again.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. So strange. Did they think that was going to be a hit again?
It was done 100% to say, fuck you, Peter Criss.
What are you talking about?
Like, yeah. So odd. How can we make Peter feel bad about himself today? You know, maybe he ran out of jars to fart in to FedEx Peter. Paul decided that this is his next thing.
What are you talking about?
Can you do Paul on the phone, like selling this to Eric Carr too? Maybe give him a car. Hey, we got this nice backing track from the '70s.
It'll be
come on over.
Well, it's around this time that like Paul, you know, like the Crazy Nights tour, I think, is where Paul and Eric started butting heads a little bit, and Paul had to.
Things with Eric were definitely getting increasingly weird. Eric had stopped talking to me during the Crazy Nights tour. He sometimes got into ruts and shut down. He seemed mad at me about something, so finally, after months, I had to sit him down and read him the riot act. You just can't pull this kind of shit for this amount of time. It might have sounded dictatorial, but the fact was he was there to play drums and be a member of the team. The silence and tension had become unbearable. This non-communicative bullshit stops today, I told him. And it did. It seemed he needed help to force his way out of a self-imposed prison.
Read Eric the Riot Act about, like, you know your place. So who knows? He might have called them up and been like, I didn't think you were talking to me still, Paul. You know, there's my Eric Carr impersonation. I need you to sing the lyric vocals on the record. Awesome. I got a lot of great. And you're going to sing Beth.
Or maybe he was, you know, because Paul had the two new songs were on there and both of them were Paul. Maybe he's like, Gene, if you don't contribute a fucking song to this greatest hits, I'm going to have Eric Carr do vocals on top of Beth. He's like, you would never. Fuck you. I'm doing it.
Well, by all accounts, Paul was driving the ship. Everybody seems to agree on that, even Gene at that point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was the executive decision. Definitely. There's no way it was a label idea. Like, you know what would really work here? You know, because if someone from the label did, Paul would say this.
I was at this label before you were here, and I'll be here after you're gone.
I agree. He was definitely driving the ship, and that was the great ship lisp.
What are you talking about?
Right. But Little Caesar, I really wish, I wished Eric.
Can I just tell you this much? The fact that you picked this song for the 10-track album, ain't that peculiar?
Eric's only lead vocal of an original tune that recorded with Kiss would have been better. This is an okay song. I can't take it off because if I took it off, it would be removing Eric Carr, and I just don't want to do that. I think King of Hearts is a better song than this, but I have to leave this song on here because it's his only real lead vocal contribution. He's had some songwriting credits scattered throughout, but yeah, because of that, I just, out of sentiment alone, this song has to stay in my book.
Yeah, well, as you know, I'm mostly a robot, and they have no emotional content. So I have no problem removing Eric Carr.
That's why you like the drumming of Eric Singer.
That's right. Oh, look at you. But yeah, I never liked this. I'm sorry. Were you done with that one?
Yep, you were good to go there.
Okay. I never liked this song, and this is not a joke. From the moment I saw it, it just reminds me of Pizza Pizza from the title. Yep. The lyrics I thought were goofy. And I just don't like the song that much in general, so I don't care who's singing it. would you, if Gene was singing lead vocal on this, would you remove it?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So there we have that at least. I just thought it was kind of like a bone. They just threw him, here's your fucking song, and it was in a goofy title.
Yeah, it feels like, because we've heard some of his other stuff now, there's better songs he wrote. It seems like they almost insisted it on being like this kind of goofy little silly song. Little Caesar. Who fucking writes a song called that and doesn't regret it?
Right. Exactly. And when I did find it, and I heard this on a different podcast, and I can't remember what, but I did, this was when they started having a tradition of songs about pizza on their albums. Because the next, Revenge had Domino's on it, right? Yeah. And I'm not sure if you go deeper into the catalog, but it's not just those two albums that reference pizza.
Papa Murphy's is a song on Monster.
Papa Murphy. There's no Papa Murphy.
It's a bonus track in Japan.
Oh, but you know, on they even did this on Carnival of Souls. You remember that song called I Will Be There in 30 Minutes or It's Free?
Yep.
And what about I Confess? What about I Confess?
I already laughed at one of your bad jokes, so I got a reputation to restore here.
Well, you don't have to laugh at this. I'm going to do this with crickets, motherfucker. You ready?
Yeah.
You can lay them in.
Yeah.
What about the Carnival of Souls is a double hitter because they also had I Confess I Ordered from Papa John's because I Love Racism.
Oh, man.
What about one last one?
You should
though,
do stand up.
I should. I would love it. You know, the thing with me
do you
doing
like
stand
heckles?
Up. The thing about me doing stand up during COVID is I have the same sound from the audience.
Oh, boo.
What do you think?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, nobody's there.
I was booing the joke.
Oh, good, good. Well, what about, this actually harkens all back to Asylum. Any way you slice it is fine, but I prefer deep dish.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm done. See, I did some prep work, people.
All right.
Leave it in there. Leave it in there. I want booze, nothing but booze. It's gold.
Let's
All right, what's your closing track, man? How are you bringing this album home?
Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell, to me, is the when I actually think the original track of Ending with Boomerang is a good closer for the record. It's just a shitty song. With what I had left, I think Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell is the most appropriate track.
Just got to take no more. Oh, you've been such a heartbreaker, baby.
kind of has that kind of fade out, you know, end credits kind of feel to it that that I always like when I'm thinking about how an album should roll. It's a pretty good song. Like I said, this one beat out King of Hearts, and so I put it slightly ahead of that, I suppose. But I just another Gene tune. I will say one thing about my final list here before I ask you what you got last, is that my record would never have happened because there are 5 Gene songs and 4 Paul. But so that would have at least got me to that 11th track, and I would have had King of Hearts in there somewhere. But what did you have closing the record?
Yeah, this one was really difficult too. And I go back to the Boomerang thing. That song gets shit on a lot. I think it's got a great Bruce solo. I don't see how those are those.
Oh, I hate
drums
that fucking lead solo on the beginning at the beginning of that song.
I'm talking about the actual solo.
Yeah.
At the end. Anyways, you know, it's got some good double bass drumming and stuff like that. It's a good outro song. It fits nowhere else in the album. But again, there are better songs in this, so it had to be cut for me too. And I put Cadillac Dreams is the outro song, which was. At first, I was like, such an odd choice, but it does kind of ramp up near the end. It's got this nice fade with the horns, and it's got the double bass drums and stuff like that. So it works for me. But
I do love that outro to that song. Yeah, I think that could have worked too. But
yeah,
mine's better.
And with yours too, that whatever. But but that was the Heaven and Hell was one that was right in between for me too. Of where do I put this and keep it? I do like that song too, but it's one that I ended up cutting. So. With that said, you want to talk about the songs that we cut?
Yeah, no. Let's start with the ones we both had off here. You Love Me to Hate You. Now, I have a quote from Desmond Child that pretty much sums up my thoughts on the song. Let me find it here. Okay, so Desmond said, "I had written I hate myself for loving you for Joan Jett. It's the same words, just rescrambled."
Got paid.
It's far less catchy. Now, with that, I would like to say that I always felt, you know, with the exception of a couple standout tracks, Desmond never really gave Paul his best effort or his best work. It seemed like everybody else he was working with that had, like, Bon Jovi or even who are some of the bigger artists that he worked with? Alice Cooper ended up doing had a big hit with him, although I think that song is garbage or it's trash.
Well, that entire album is written by Desmond Child.
Okay. I'm talking about the song Poison really broke Alice back.
Oh, sure.
I never really I didn't jive with that song, but we're not talking about that. Anyway, I think that he kind of mailed it in. Oh, he worked with Aerosmith quite a bit, too. But it seemed like with Paul's stuff, it's like, this is like, he got like the dummies version of Desmond Child where he saved his A game for other artists. There's some exceptions, but I think most of the stuff that he did with Paul ended up being far less than like the stuff you'd hear from songs from Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, that kind of stuff.
I think what you're saying is he's a smart businessman. I think that kind of what you're saying is he had a hit with I Was Made for Loving You with them, and almost like he was like, okay, I'll be nice to you, Paul, and I'll write some songs with you. But the ones that he probably had that he knew would be pushed further and make more money, he'd give it to other artists.
Yeah, it seemed that way. Right. Yeah. Maybe he actually held some stuff, some ideas back. Who knows?
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Desmond's always been, you know, had very nice things to say about Paul, so I'm not directly stating anything. It just feels that way. Like, this is a good example of, like, you love me to hate you. And it's that classic, you know, yin-yang, black-white, good-evil, you know, that kind of thing that Desmond uses in a lot of his, like, you give love a bad name, love, bad.
Heaven, fire, yeah, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you look, he flat-out cops to that. That's part of his approach, but...
And just one last thing on that song too. That, you know, obviously that was cut from mine too. That is the example of oversinging left over from Crazy Nights for me.
Okay.
That song for
yeah,
me.
Definitely. Now I took. Well, wait. What else? Read My Body. We both had off. I don't think there's much explanation needed there, right? I think anybody with ears could understand why this should never have made the album. Got 15 fucking songs. You don't think this one could come off?
Well, it's not just that, but it's also the fact that, hey, Def Leppard had a long album. Let's do a long album. Let's do Pour Some Sugar on Me. That's the lot of comparisons made to that, too. Let's try it. And this is how you should not write Pour Some Sugar on Me, basically.
Yeah, it's like, can we make Pour Some Sugar on Me, but less enjoyable?
Yeah, and this is the other co-write, by the way, by that Judas Priest guy.
Okay,
Bob Halligan. Okay. And Kix guy. Yep.
And the other one that we both took off was Boomerang. I just think it's, I don't know, it's like Kiss trying to do speed metal. It just, I never got the song. Record, it's the closer, and that makes sense. So I think it's sequenced properly on the album. I just think it's a shitty fucking song.
Yeah.
If you weren't writing these down as you went along at home, well, shame on you. You should have been.
Yeah.
But you can go to the show notes and see my list and Luce's list, and you can maybe if you have a little fun, queue up a playlist for each one, see which one you like better. I think either way, we both improved the record. I just did a better job of it than you. So A plus for me, and Luce, you get a nice C plus.
Oh, thank you. Well, what I'm going to do too is I know that you'll never do this, but I've actually sequenced mine on Spotify for a public playlist.
Mm, nice. Okay.
And I'll make one for you too, just to make you angry.
Thank you. I like how he's like, yeah. When I did this for Crazy Nights, I fucking beefed up the production, kind of add a little more bass to it, so it sounded a little more natural. And then I put up a shared file that people could download it, an actual almost remastered, resequenced. And you're all proud of yourself because you fucking made a Spotify playlist. Oh, way to go the extra mile there. The truth is, you only did that so that you could hear your songs in the order you did it.
But how I made it though is it's a special version of Spotify playlist where after the fifth track, it just gets stuck and just goes around in a groove until you actually have to go there and hit stop and hit play again.
Mm, nice.
That's for you, Craig Smith.
You motherfucker.
You did an awful lot for Craig Smith this episode.
I did. I feel I owe it to him.
You motherfucker.
I feel I owe it to him and his friends.
You motherfucker.
Yes. Well, we've covered every track on the album then. Any closing thoughts that we missed? I don't have a whole lot more to say on this thing. I think it's a good record. It was a great tour. It was a great time to be a Kiss fan. This would be the last record that Eric Carr would play on, and then the following tour was also his last tour. He died in 1991, of course, same day as Freddie Mercury, December 20th or something like that. I don't know. You can look up the date. I just don't have it in front of me. He's definitely missed. I think Eric Singer is a very credible drummer, but he's the epitome of a session player, and that's why he's been in 900 bands, you know what I mean? Eric Carr, I think, is missed a little bit, but honestly, it's not like they're fucking making music now, so who cares? I don't know. He was such a good personality. That's the one thing I think about with this record is him. So, God bless you. Rest in peace, Eric Carr. What do you got? Any thoughts?
No, just in summary that of the Unmasked period, you know, I'm going to just say that this is better than Asylum, Crazy Nights, and Animal Eyes. And while those, and while you might argue some of those albums had maybe higher highs yep. and lower lows, I think it's an album where they used, I'm almost positive that this had the most, the biggest variety of co-writers, which I think is five.
Okay.
So sometimes they would just grab a Desmond here and there, and then Gene would write by himself and things like that. So,
Jean Bouvier.
It's one of my favorite. Yeah, he's not on it.
No.
But yeah, I think it's overall, and if you cut it down from, if you get rid of the bloat, I think if you cut it down to 10 tracks like we have, you can see it more clearly that there are some quality, great songs on this album that's dismissed quite often as one of their worst of the Unmasked.
Sure.
Period.
Yeah, album just, it blows away Asylum and Crazy Nights. I might like Animal Eyes a little more. I don't know. It kind of depends on the mood. The fact that we just went through this, I'm thinking I like this record a little better. But I'm with you for the most part. This, to me, like they're from Lick It Up to Revenge is like a smile. And, yep. you know, they go down to Asylum is the bottom of the arc and yep. Revenge and Lick It Up on the two ends or the high ends. So,
And again, since we're talking about closing thoughts and personal wise, this was kind of a good zone for me because really I got in this album in 90 near the tour, not in 89. So between this and the whole God Gave Rock to You Too, seeing that video and Revenge, that 2 year period really kind of cemented my Kiss fandom. From going deeper and all that, so it does hold a certain important place in my King of Hearts.
Well, do you think we can get out of here?
No, I think we've made a very bloated podcast about trimming down an album.
Yeah, very much so. Thanks for sticking through the whole thing.
All right, man. I'm glad we finally got around to doing this episode. You want to get out of here?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Rock's not dead.
But Tito is.
Hi, you're listening to WCWP, the home of rock and roll. This is Eric Carr of Kiss, and I'm here with Tony Mahle, and we're doing an interview with me.
You're going to love this, guys. You're going to love this. We'll be right back.
Where are we going?
We're not. Whatever happened, going. You said you're going to play the... You're not going
to... No, it's because you're right. Not
I'm oh. here.
Okay. Organization. I like it.
That's him. Do you hear
that's
that?
That's him. He spoke.
Who is it? Are you bigger than a... Wait, are you... No, don't answer that. Wait, what's my line? How does that go?
It's 20 questions. Guess who it is? No, just tell him.
Okay.
We have
it's deity. Difficult being a deity. Do you know what that is? That's on the bathroom wall in the bathroom. Yeah.
It's about him.
Who wrote that?
I didn't start that.
Did you write that?
No.
Did you write it?
Tony Miles got it, and so I said,
no, I know. I saw the whole thing. Did you answer? Did you write that?
Well, I wrote the responses. I didn't write the actual. I didn't actually initiate it.
Because deity is spelled wrong.
Did I spell it wrong?
You betcha.
I spelled deity. Okay, I wrote that.
It's D-I-E-T-Y. That's what you spelled, and I think it's D-E-I-E-T-Y.
Oh, really?
Something like that. Let's get an audience participation.
Anyway, this is Eric Carr. Okay, this is Eric Carr. You know. Eric Carr, that's him. This is the guy that's been interviewing me about what I've been writing on the bathroom wall.
Listen, we're doing a survey. Hi, this is Eric from KISS, in case you don't know what band I'm in. That's the band. Okay. We're doing a survey here. Tony hates my clothes. He's been goofing on my clothes, what I'm wearing, ever since I got here. We want hundreds of people to come down to the station and give their opinions on what I'm wearing. Okay, we have a big window. I'll stand in front of the window, and you can watch. And then thumbs up if you like it, thumbs down if you don't. And that's it. Back to you, Tony.
Okay. So, Eric, hot in the shade.
Yes, I know.
It's great. It's so good. Not that I'm licking your ass or anything, but it's. Can I say that on the air? Can I say ass?
If you were licking my ass, they wouldn't be able to understand what you were saying.
True, and it would. Okay. It's so good. It's. And there it is. Yeah.
Hold that up,
so all the listeners can see it.
CDs.
CDs.
They have CDs. They're holding up the album.
It's really. It's an awesome album. It was worth the 2 years.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. A little trivia. You know how hard it was to get Gene to hold still for the photograph of that cover?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
That's Gene. That's Gene in the morning with his sunglasses on.
The Sphinx on the cover?
That's
Gene?
Yes.
Damn.
Just kidding, Gene.
And those big sunglasses.
Yes. Okay, so moving right along.
Okay, so it's really great.
Thank you.
That sounds dumb. I'll say it again.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, next question.
Next question. Okay, so it's got 15 songs on it.
Yeah.
It's got it's a nice full album. You know, it's got 7 by Paul, 7 by Gene.
Yeah.
And one finally by you.
I know.
And I know I'm telling you all this stuff that you already know. So maybe you could say some stuff that I don't know yet.
How long did it take for you to put that out?
Oh, there's another voice that chimed in.
Hello,
here.
This is George.
Actually, this album went like really, really fast. We went in the studio in June, mid-June, and we were done probably, I don't know, June, July, sometime in early August, we were actually done with the recording of it. And then, you know, the mixing, the overdubs and the mixing usually drag things out, but we got done really fast, four months at the most, and we're done.
Was it fun?
Yeah. You know, they're always work. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's fun, sometimes you fight, and sometimes you disagree about things, but that's just part of a creative process, you know?
Well, this is what...
So how did you eventually get them to... How did you convince them to put on one of your songs, finally, one of your vocals?
Well, I locked myself in the bathroom, and I refused to come out. And I said, look, I'm not going to play the drums unless you let me sing something. They said, okay, here. No, I'm just kidding.
We did the same
thing.
Did you
write the word
here.
Deity on the wall to get them to...
Yes, I did. Yes, when I wrote Deity, Gene said, okay. He said, no, actually, the way that happened, I brought three songs. Do you really want to hear, like, the actual story, or should I just give you, like, a dumb answer, you know?
No,
so you can continue.
Audience.
All right.
Have a
boat. Yeah, that's true. If I give you the truth, it'll still be a dumb answer.
Edit it later.
Okay. The way it happened is that I brought three really, really good songs to the band in April when I went out to L.A., really killer ballad that I had called Somebody's Waiting, but we had Forever, which was like so super, you know, that we decided to go with that one. But Little Caesar was a rhythm track that I had done at home, just goofing around, you know. I let Gene hear it. There was no vocal on it. It was just a drums, bass, and guitar on it. And I didn't think he would ever, you know, think it was anything. And he loved it. So Bruce and I went into the studio where we did the album, Fortress, and we cut a 24-track demo. I played the drums and bass on it. Bruce did all the guitars. He did his lead guitar part, like one or two passes, and he was done because it was a demo. And then the song sat for a couple of months until we finally came up with some lyrics, you know, that worked for it. And, so a little bit of KISS trivia is that the track that is on the album is the actual demo.
Oh, wow.
It's a demo. And it's just me and Bruce playing.
And it sounds great.
Yeah. It was, you know, it kind of like happened, you know, because we weren't trying to make it perfect. So it was exciting and it happened. We decided if we try to recut it, it'll never be as good. So we left it.
Wow.
So what? Who cares?
You said you had another two songs?
I didn't say that. You did.
Oh. No, you said you had three.
The what is flying across the studio.
I know, and landing
He's
on the floor.
He's just too witty for us.
No, well, I'm sorry. What?
Let's hear the song, Little Caesar. All right, let's play it.
Yeah, play it at you.
Okay, all anything right. to shut me up. Yeah, please.
Oh, please.
That is the demo. That is the original demo. So what? Who cares?
Well, and that's just you and Bruce on there.
It's just, it's Bruce and I on all the instruments, and me and Gene doing harmonies through most of the song, and me and Paul at the end.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, hey, I didn't remember we are still doing this contest. We want to find out if my clothes are really ridiculous or not.
Yeah.
All right, we want hundreds of people to come here. Now, you all know where the station is. You have to come here. What? In the bitter cold. Well, we have two already.
Yeah.
And they like the way I'm dressed. All right, so that's two for me and none for you.
Yeah, but they're girls. You've got to understand, you know.
That's all that counts.
That's all that counts.
That's all that counts, right.
No, actually, let's be fair here, okay? Because, guys, you know, if I'll take the opinions of anybody. If they say that I look like a jerk, then fine.
I never said you look like a jerk. I like what you're wearing.
But you intimated. You like that word?
I'm intimated. Not
intimated.
With intimated. SAT words.
Is that a good word?
Yeah, that's a good
word. Like deity.
Spell correct.
Someone should call in with the correct spelling of deity. Please do so.
Put them on the air.
Back to you.
That's right. We're on video. This is what I do when we're doing this. See? That's my secret when I'm concentrating.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.